So do you understand all these things? The disciples said yes. What is our response? For the third week now, we've been hearing from chapter 13, this discourse of the parables on the kingdom of heaven, where the Lord gave us a variety of images to ponder about this kingdom of heaven. This kingdom of heaven that Christ came to proclaim, the kingdom that he sent his disciples out to preach, the kingdom for which we are all made, the kingdom for which our hearts yearn. So as you've been pondering and contemplating this great mystery of the kingdom, with these riddles, these parables, these mysterious explanations, do you understand all these things? And what another set of great images Jesus gives us this morning. Like a treasure buried in a field which a person finds. I'm sure we've all seen, or maybe some of us, we are the ones who dragged a metal detector behind us as we walk up and down the beach, or we've seen that man, just hoping to come across that great treasure. It's usually a bottle cap or some discarded trash, but there's a hope, almost an expectation that something would be found. The man who found the pearl, the merchant, was looking for that pearl, and he found it. So what are we looking for? What are we expecting to find in our daily lives? How high up on our list does the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, rest on our list of important things, things that we're expecting to encounter? And then this response for both of these, to go and sell everything with joy for that one thing. So we can imagine the man who found the treasure in the field was a day laborer, working someone else's land. So he found something of immense value, of immense worth, but it wasn't his just to take. He had to prepare himself. He had to put himself in the position where he could properly receive it. The man with the pearl of great price, to sell everything else for that one thing. When we hear it time and time again, Jesus must be our main thing, our first thing, our only thing, or he is our nothing. But so oftentimes in our lives, we try to have him just as one more thing in our life. So do we understand what Jesus is telling us these past three Gospels? Has that word been sown in your heart? And has it grown roots? And has it begun to produce abundant fruit in your life? Or is it scattered and choked away because of the anxieties and your desire for other things in this world? Your fears, your ambition. Have you seen a great impact from your life as that small mustard seed or that little bit of yeast? Can you see what the Lord's doing in your life? Have you asked him to show you what he's doing through you in the lives of the people around you? Can you see the impact in your life of those mustard seeds and the yeast and the people in your life? Has this pondering, this wrestling with these images opened your heart to the reality of the kingdom? Are you still discouraged and angered by the sight of weeds in your garden? Or have you come to realize that this is in some way part of God's allowing plan, His permissive will? Once again, as we heard at the end today, that the separation will come at the end of time. Because as we reflect, we realize that oftentimes we are that weed, or we are that bad fish. But by God's grace, we can convert. And perhaps that's the fruit of this pondering of these mysteries, the pondering of the kingdom of heaven, is that we realize it's time to convert, that I'm ready now to put God as my first thing and my only thing, that He truly has become my pearl of great price. Ever since seminary, I think maybe my fifth or sixth year of seminary, every time I hear this passage, I think about one night some of the guys and I went out to dinner. I think it was a Monday night. We had some free time, so we were just hanging out, having a good time, laughing, joking, cutting up at the table. And our waitress kept coming back. And then one time she said, "Let me guess, all you guys got hall passes for the night." And so we laughed, meaning she thought our wives gave us some time off. And then she came back the next time, one of our guys said, "You might not believe this, but we're all going to become priests. We're all in the seminary. We're training to be priests." Oh, okay. She didn't know how to respond to that. The next trip back to the table, she kind of had a puzzled look, and she said, "Like, so you can't get married? Aren't you worried about being lonely?" And so someone at the table said, "You know, I have lots of friends who are married, and they're lonely too. Like, marriage isn't the answer for loneliness." And then we had a beautiful chance, opportunity with this young lady to share the gospel with her. That each of us in our own way had some measure of success in the world, however small or great it may have been. But our hearts were still yearning for something more. We were still digging through that field, looking for that treasure. We were in search of that pearl of great price. And when we encountered Jesus Christ, we found it. And so a few weeks later, I was tasked with writing an article for our seminary magazine, and my topic was celibacy. And so I referred back to that encounter with that waitress at the restaurant. How with celibacy, this beautiful gift that the Lord has given me so I can respond well to my vocation to the priesthood, that I have found the pearl of great price. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas says that we often look for substitutes for God because we're all made for Him. We're all yearning for Him. We're all searching for Him. But we all don't trust Him. We all don't believe that He's enough for us. So we go in search of what he said, the four main substitutes of power and pleasure and honor and wealth. And all those guys at the table that night could give that testimony of how, even if it wasn't a sinful pursuit, it wasn't a holy pursuit, because we were not pursuing Jesus. We were looking for, hoping for, expecting something else to satisfy us other than Jesus. But once we found Him, or it's probably better to say once He found us, once we surrendered our life to Him, all those other things faded away. We came to understand the truth of a life lived in Jesus Christ. So do you understand these things? King Solomon was given a wide open door. God said, "Ask me for whatever you want." He asked for an understanding heart, a listening heart, wisdom, to know things as God knows them. So that he could put his life in proper order. Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom. And our Bishop Eric Pollmeyer chose that for his motto. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. all the wealth, the power, the honor, the pleasure that you think you need, the Lord will supply it to you in proper order, not in the disordered way the world gives to us. The way that the world gives to us that leads to sadness, confusion, and loneliness. Once again today, the Lord is revealing the heart of the Father to us, inviting us to surrender everything to Him, trusting in Him to be our one thing and our only thing. Do you understand?